We are coming back. We have a guest scheduled, and you know, listen, one of the best things I can do is talk to parents who actually take matters into their own hands in a positive way. I'm going to talk to a mom who has really challenged the way our children are being educated in such an incredibly, very, very convincing manner. We'll be right back. My next guest is one of these incredible parents who has decided that she's in charge of her children's education and has actually taken it a step further and has an organization called NoLeftTurn.us, which is endeavoring to educate people about what's going on in our public schools. Dr. Elena Fishbein, how are you?
Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm doing very well.
And listen, I'm always just so incredibly impressed by people who, you know, really take that risk, and it's a risk, to come out and start exposing what's going on in our public schools. And for years, everybody was too fearful to do it, and now we see a movement emerging where parents are doing it. Tell me how you got started in this.
I got started because I was starting to be exposed gradually to the material that they're teaching my kids in elementary school. Now they're a little bit older, but not that much older. They're 9 and 11, but it started in earlier grades. And gradually the curriculum became more and more politicized until after the murder of George Floyd, and it was no more little by little. The floodgates has been opened, and we had literally a front assault by all the people that decided that they have a better idea how to educate our kids, and in fact, it's not educating them, it's indoctrinating them into a very specific ideology and political affiliation.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think that for a lot of people, that became very apparent when they were forced to view their classes online, and parents got to see for the first time.
Absolutely, because for the longest time, parents had a blind trust, an unconditional trust in the teachers, in the schools, in the school boards. I would say even more than that, parents, including myself, my husband, who have thought that we've been always involved in our kids' education, that we knew what they were learning, and we helped them with homework, et cetera, actually were completely oblivious to how the system works and what, in fact, is happening in the school. We knew nothing about school board. We knew nothing about how decisions are made in terms of what material goes into the school, what curriculum are implemented. So, yes, for the first time, when parents were forced to be at home and the kids were learning from home, that we were exposed to this because we were asleep at the wheel all those years.
Well, I can tell you that 27 years ago, I got involved in a project down here in Florida, which was examining textbooks. And at the time, I got involved because there were some really anti-Semitic things that were popping up in textbooks, including a kind of glossing over the Holocaust. And a couple of parents had brought it to the attention of a gentleman who was retired and had time, and he put together a committee. And we started reviewing textbooks all over the state of Florida. And when I tell you the misrepresentation of history, not just world history, but history period, particularly the civil rights movement and things like that, was so appalling to me. And like you, I'd had kids who'd been in the public school system, and I had no idea. And my kids are in their 40s now, so it's a whole different ball game. But even back then, 25 years ago, some of us were beginning to say, something's wrong here, you know.
Indeed, if you took the time to look at the material, we would have been more aware. I had an incident with my child who's now 20 years old when he was in first grade. And one day he came home with a rolled poster. And I opened the poster and I said, why do you have a poster of the West Bank? And this is a first grader.
Right.
And it says, just West Bank, very big poster. And I questioned the teachers, and I questioned the principal, and they just had a professional day when they had parents come and talk about what they do. And that parent happened to be a quote-unquote geographer. I don't know if that was her real profession. And she was an Arab. I don't remember from what country. So they had an agenda. Because why would a first grader in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., in Potomac, Maryland, will get a poster about something that's called West Bank and not about their community, about their state, about the city, about the United States? Why would they have to go? What relationship do they have to that subject? So that's part of the what you see as a little by little seeping into the curriculum, the kind of indoctrination into whatever agenda. And if I jump even a few years later, when that same boy that I had, my older son, was in high school, that was 6 years ago, I looked at his homework in when they learned about Islam. And I'm not just speaking up about Islam, but this is really just happened to be a coincidence. And I see that they're learning about Islam. And I asked him, did you learn already about Judaism and Christianity? And he said, no. And then I'm looking at the book that he had, and I see that they are missing two of the most essential, you know, a principle in Islam, which is like infidel and jihad. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a teacher. That was 2015. I wrote a teacher, and I questioned why they haven't learned about Judaism and Christianity, and they're learning only about Islam. Why they're missing the central point about Islam, and even painting Muhammad as more Mother Teresa than Mother Teresa.
Right. No, I completely understand, and I think you're right that, you know, for someone like me, I just wanted my kids to do well. They went to public schools from the third grade on in Florida, which is a kind of a subpar public school system. But as a parent, I stayed involved and I made sure they had all of the advantages. And they were, you know, they were beginning the brainwashing, but it wasn't until my kids went to university, and one went to Columbia, mm-hmm. the other went to Harvard, that the real indoctrination started. And it was appalling. You know, having kids coming home for their, you know, holiday breaks and telling me that they were joining, you know, Justice for Palestine on campus groups. And I'm saying, well, wait a second, you know, how many other Kaufmans are in there? You know, mm-hmm. And I was shocked at the number of kids who had been, you know, totally rejected their history, their past, and had become part of these movements because peer pressure was enormous.
It's not only rejecting the history, they don't know history because they've been brainwashed. In fact, you know, we have a lot of parents, grandparents, and just concerned citizens joining our movement from all over the country. And among the most heartbreaking stories that I'm hearing are from parents who give the best education to their kids, and then they send them to college, to very fine colleges and universities, and they lost them. Mm-hmm. The kids literally have no relationship with the parents, accusing the parents of all sort of, you know, problem or issue like white supremacy and discrimination, et cetera. This is really heartbreaking. So now they are not waiting for our kids to go to college or universities. They want to start when they are 3 and 4 and 5 years old. And that's what they are doing in K-12 and even before that.
Yeah, and then all of this gender fluidity and pick your own pronouns nonsense, parents have no say in that. And it goes on in elementary schools. You know, Heather has two mommies and all of this stuff that for some parents, particularly those who have any kind of religious background, this is unacceptable and it has no place in the educational model. So what do you tell people to do? Because you're active, you've got people involved in your organization. What do people do if they don't know how to combat this in their own lives?
So, you know, when I launched the movement back at the end of August 2020, I was looking to see who is doing what in order to join some group, some effort, and I didn't see any. So I launched the movement, and we started locally. But luckily, I got on Tucker a few weeks later, And overnight, this became a national movement. Mm-hmm. And people from all over the country had been approaching me. So we started actually building chapters, because the hardest thing is to go by yourself. Right. Confront school board, even confront the principal. And the other thing, the problem is that people don't know what's going on exactly, because the schools and the school board are now on the other side. They are not transparent. They do not want to share information. There is really a war of attrition is waged against parents who want to find out what's going on in school. So now that we established chapter, we are bringing people together. We have chapters all across the country, and people can look on our website and write us and ask to join chapters so they are not alone. We educate you about what's going on. We help you. We have the tools. We have the resources to help you expose what's going on in your school district. And then we help you come together with other people, like-minded people, and fight it. We fight it mostly in three areas. We focus on legal area, legislative, as well as civic. We tell parents, you know what? You're a citizen of this country, exercise your civic duties. And there are a lot of activities on that front that we can do in addition to confronting school board. The other area is civic. Legal. Legal, we have the first case of a parent suing a school. It's a mother from Nevada, Gabrielle Clark, who sued the charter school that her son attended. We have now many more cases. Just today, I was approached by another teacher from Louisiana who would like to sue their school. And other teacher that approached me. So we are also working on the legal front to sue teachers, schools, and school boards who are engaged in this kind of indoctrination. The third area is the legislative. Mm-hmm. We have been developing legislation to ban critical race theory and other kind of forms of indoctrination, to put cameras in the classroom so when the teacher closes the door, we still know what's happening in the classroom, to bring back the power of decision about the education of the children to the parents. And we are meeting with legislators and promoting this kind of legislation. So we ask all people who are concerned about the future of the children and our nation to come and join us so we can fight together. We help each other. We come together. Our strength is in our numbers.
Absolutely. And the website is nolefturn.us. That's nolefturn.us. And you'll get all the information you need and contact information as well. Dr. Fishbein, thank you so much for the hard work you're doing and also for coming on the show today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. If I can say another sentence, you know, a lot of people are still afraid. Mm-hmm. And as I said, if we come together, we are less afraid and we are more powerful. However, people who are still hesitant about, stepping up and voicing their objection, we have a donate button on our website. We are reaching the end of the year. If people will be generous enough and support our troops who are fighting every day to protect our children and our nation, we'd greatly appreciate that.
Very well. So it's nolefturn.us. Thanks for your time, Doc.
Thank you very much.